Let's show our appreciation by trying to help him out, not bringing dirt into the building. All right, John 14, verse 27 will be our scripture text this morning. John 14, verse 27. I've already told you this is a two-parter. Okay, we've got a lot of subject matter here, but we're going to take our time and be as thorough as we can. John 14 and verse 27. What we bring to you this morning is a very relevant message. It's pertinent because of what we're going through as a nation, what we're going through as a region. It's come close to where we live. It's right where we live. Maybe not the numbers of people that have contracted this Wuhan virus, but it is affecting us. It's affecting our homes, our children. If it affects the children, it affects the home. It affects the workplace, affects the economy, as we've already said. So we need advice, do we not? We need advice. Well, let's get into our scripture text. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The impact and influence of advice depends upon our opinion of the advisor. Now, the counselor speaking in our text is the Lord Jesus Christ, who is entirely informed, thoroughly concerned, full of truth as well as full of grace, and most assuredly touched by our troubles. May we sincerely consider what Paul wrote in Hebrews 2 and verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. The title of our message this morning and again this evening, if the Lord allows, is Sound Advice in Troubled Times. Sound advice in troubled times. Let not your heart be troubled. Sound advice in troubled times. Back to the thought that I was bringing prior to reading our text. We need advice. We need some direction, and we only know that it has been coming from all angles, from every direction. Advice has been coming. If you check your emails and things such as that, you get advice coming from all quarters. You have advice coming from places you would never expect advice to be coming from. I can probably lose count of the number of emails that I've received regarding this virus and what companies are doing about it and what we should do about it. I've heard from credit card companies, I've heard from clothing manufacturers, clothing suppliers, everybody I do business with, or everyone that I've ordered something from, has been ended up in my email. I even heard from Vector Security this last week. Vector Security. And, you know, they're the people that take care of our building security, our security cameras, our fire suppression, monitoring any fire needs such as that. You've probably done the same. I've seen some of your heads going up and down in agreement, and then I've seen some of your heads just going down because you're sleepy. And I would suggest that you wake up, because the advice we give you today is needful, and you need to hear it as a child of God. Sister, wake up. Brother, wake up. Amen. Are you woke? Then stay woke. You had to be here last week. But we're not preaching on being woke and staying woke. We're not preaching on awake to righteousness, though we will get to that eventually. God has some advice for us. It's sound advice. It's pertinent advice. It doesn't come from the email. It doesn't come from your clothing supplier. It doesn't come from somebody that you order fruit from or coffee from or your credit card people. It doesn't come from your security company. It doesn't come from the schools. It doesn't come from the government, though it does come from the government. The government which is upon his shoulders. It comes from our counselor, the one that was born counselor. The one whose word means all to us. The one whose word stands and will continue to stand and endure until that last day. Amen. Jesus Christ. Does his word have impact? Does his word have influence with you? Amen. Should. Amen. Now I know as a matter of fact that with some of you over the years, my advice has meant very little to you. I know that. You've confessed it to me. That you have not taken my advice, you've not taken my counsel, and you've just went ahead and done whatever you've wanted to do. Well, in so many words, you're saying that the advice and the counsel from Jesus Christ doesn't mean anything to you either. When you cannot take the counsel of your pastor and you choose to do just what you want to do. And always, folks, the proof is in the pudding. And those chickens come home to roost. And oh, how I have seen it in your lives. Husbands, wives, families, homes, amen, I have seen it. Amen. You have disregarded the word of God. You have disregarded the counsel of your pastor. It tells us over in 2 Chronicles 20 and 20, believe the Lord and so shall you be established. Believe his prophets. Believe the pastor and so shall you prosper. And I've seen a real lack of prospering in some of you in this congregation over the years. You live poor. You're poor in grace. You're poor in patience, you're poor in mercy, you're poor in serving God, you're poor in other ways. It's because you just don't want to give heed to the word of God. You give heed to your own direction, you lend more credence to what the world has to say. Your people that you set up in the world, your business associates and people that live down the road or work in the same industry as you do, they are the sages in your life. And you look to them for wisdom and you think they are all-knowing and all-wonderful. I still even get that at times as I counsel people in this congregation. They tell me what brother so-and-so has told them. And then they finally get around to getting the counsel from the pastor. And oh, I love sitting down. I love giving people time for counsel. And sometime during that half hour, 45 minutes of counsel, I hear what brother so-and-so has advised them to do. They finally get to me after they have consulted with all they feel really is in the know for their situation. Makes me feel like my advice means nothing. In so many words, it does. It doesn't mean anything to them because they have their own sources they go to. Well, let's bring this to Christ. Let's bring this to Christ. Because his word to us, his advice to us, it should have great impact and it should have great influence upon us because we regard the opinion of the advisor. He's all-knowing. He knows everything. Amen. He knows things before they begin and he knows how they're going to end. And he knows a tremendous amount about you and I and how we are going to deal with issues and troubles and problems. He knows that all about us. And he does know whether we seek his advice and value his opinion. He does know. But regardless of your thought about the Word of God, the advice of your pastor, amen, giving heed to the things, amen, found within the pages of God's holy Word, regardless of how you feel about that, you're here this morning and you're going to hear from God and you're going to hear what Christ has to say. You're going to hear some sound advice for these troubled times in which we live. And we live in troubled times. There's a natural peril that comes with the end of time in which we live. But of course, we cannot turn a blind eye to the virus and the disease that has swept this world of ours. We can't turn a blind eye to it. That would be foolish. It would be foolish. It would be naive at best. Much worse, amen, than naive. We have a high priest. We have a counselor. Let's not forget that. Amen. Amen. He sent us an email a long time ago. It's a miracle that this word has endured down through the ages of time. And it still stands. And it is that which will continue to give direction and guidance to the humble, saved, sanctified man, the humble, saved, and sanctified woman. This here. If you're proud and arrogant in any other way, amen, but saved and sanctified, you will disregard this. Millions have done just that same thing down through the years. They've disregarded the Word of God. And they've done it to their own calamity. And they've done it to their own detriment. Amen. Where do we go for help in time of need? We go to God. We go to our high priest. We go to our counselor. Amen. Hebrews 4, verse 13. Hebrews 4, verse 13. I'm going to take God's advice. I'm going to be cheered through the Word. But I go to the Word for more than just to be cheered. I don't always need to be encouraged. Do you hear me? Okay, that is a byproduct of the world that we live in today. That's part of the snowflake mentality. They always need to be cheered. They expect everything for doing absolutely nothing. Amen. They are the people that want, amen, the government to take care of all their school debts, school loans, thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt. They want the government to absolve them of all that. Where does that mentality come from? They want jobs immediately. They want the best jobs immediately. They want the $80,000, $85,000, $90,000 job just like that. They want everything. Yeah. Why do you think so many of these snowflakes, millennialists, are supporting Bernie Sanders? Because they believe that line of malarkey, stealing a term from Joe Biden. I don't feel very secure in doing that, but I don't feel good in doing that. That phrase was used a long time before him. Though he's old, amen, that term's older than he is. They buy into socialism because, amen, they believe the government, amen, should give them everything. Healthcare, education, housing. Everybody should just live in that socialist, communist, utopian world. It's a fallacy. It's a fallacy. Amen. I go to the Word of God for more than just encouragement. I do not always have to be encouraged. How about you? How about all of you? Is it always encouragement? Is it, I go to the Word of God to make myself, I just want to feel good. Huh? Is that the mentality? That's the product of the generations today? I just want to feel good. Of course, it's no different. Their grandmas and grandpas, we're part of that, if it feels good, do it generation. And they raised their kids, amen, another generation, amen, under that. Now you've got the offspring, the spawn, amen, of children that have been raised, amen, by the if it feels good, do it generation. And they're the ones that are coming up and saying, I just want to feel good. And the government needs to make me feel good. Mom and dad needs to make me feel good. I shouldn't have any troubles. As long as I'm living in mom and dad's basement, I shouldn't have any troubles. Mom and dad's feeding me. Mom's doing the wash, the laundry. I can live in the basement. And then I can go out and disrupt, amen, the harmony of our communities and fight against and rebel against civil law and things such as that. That's where we live in today. The Word of God will do more than just make you feel good. The Word of God will challenge you. The Word of God will give you advice. The Word of God will correct you when it's necessary. The Word of God will rein you in. Amen. The Word of God, amen, will put a rod to your back. It'll be a light to your feet. It'll be a comfort. Amen. The Word of God is all those things. It's important. It's important where we get our advice. We've got a high priest that cares. Amen. Who's entirely informed, thoroughly concerned. He's full of truth as well as full of grace. And most assuredly, he's touched by our troubles. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. I like that so much, that last part there, with whom we have to do. Who is it that you have to do with? Huh? Is it the so-called expert in your life, the so-called sage that's no more than a mortal man? Somebody that you put stock in, think his word is truth and gold, and some woman who you think's word is truth and gold, amen, and you get advice from here and advice from that quarter and this quarter and this direction and that direction. What about God? What about Jesus Christ? What about, and I love this, amen, what about the one with whom we have to do? Do you have anything to do with Christ? Do you have anything to do with Christ? Man, you know the feelings. You know people say, I have nothing to do with them. Don't look so puzzled out there. This isn't hard to understand. You probably said that about some people that have wronged you and have turned traitor on you and have done you bad. I don't have anything to do with them. They don't matter to me. I don't have anything to do with them anymore. But how about Christ? Has he ever wronged you? Has he ever given you wrong advice? Has he ever not been there? How many times has he been there to help you, to heal you, to guide you, to direct you, to comfort you? And yes, he's been there to chasten you, but he chastens those whom he loves. And as a child of God, you take it, amen, when it comes your way and you realize it's for your benefit. The one whom we have to do. The one that we have to do with. Thank God for Christ. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, who is that high priest that's passed into the heavens? Paul writes in verse 14, he says, Jesus, the Son of God. Let's hold fast our profession. Let's hold our profession of what? Saved, Church of God. How about our profession of faith and everything that means? Are we going to allow panic? Are we going to allow panic, amen, to erode our profession of faith? Are we going to allow panic to reveal that what we had professed to be a profession of faith was really bogus, was really fraud? Are we going to look to God? Are we going to take his advice? Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Are we going to give heed to this advice? Does his advice, amen, does our opinion of the advisor have impact and an influence upon us? He told us, children, saints of God, those of you that are saved, let not your heart be troubled. Don't let it be afraid. I've given you peace. Not like the world gives. You want evidence of the world not having peace? Huh? Go to Costco, go to Sam's Club, go to Giant Eagle, go to Dollar General. Brother Carnes, is there a message in those places? Oh, absolutely, to the spiritual. And I tell you, you don't even have to be very spiritual. Amen. You can draw some conclusions. A man or a woman, amen, with half a brain can draw some conclusions. There's something horribly going wrong, amen, with our society. Can't find paper products. Can't find bottled water. Bottled water. Does your well still work? Do you still pay for city water? Is the virus going to get in those things? They're buying out the stores of bottled water. Well, our city water doesn't taste good, but if you had to drink it, you would. And you could, without killing over dead. Amen. Commentary. There's a commentary. A world without peace. Amen. Amen. It's pretty. We live in a pretty shallow society. When peace for the public can be measured in rolls of paper products. It might sound funny, but it's the truth. How do you measure peace? 4 cases of bottled water. That's peace. A full box of paper. Roll after roll after roll. That's my peace. I've got more hamburger than I know what to do with. I'm going to be eating pork chops from now until fall. That's what people think. They're just cleaning everything out. Amen. He says, peace I leave you with you, my peace. My peace. This is a peace which is totally different than the peace of the world. And Christ says that. Does it have an impact? Does it have influence? He said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world giveth. I've got something better than paper products. I've got something better than bottled water. I've got something better, amen, that will fill your cupboard or your freezer or sit on the kitchen floor, amen, piled up until you get a chance to use it. I've got something better. I've got something that I can put right down in here. But that which he puts down in here can't lay dormant or be affected by what's up here, brother, sister, by how we think. I'm going to get to that point. Amen. What controls we have, what controls what God has given to us down here, oftentimes start right here. Amen. Seeing we have a great high priest that is passed in the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession of faith. Men and women of faith, not men and women of panic, not men and women of fear. For we have not a high priest. Now, Paul writes here in negatives, amen, to prove a positive point. He's prone to do that. Wordy, yes, but we understand it. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. 2 negatives there. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, which means what? We have a high priest which can be touched with all our troubles. But was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Verse 16. Amen. Such a positive thought here put forth by Paul. Let us therefore come boldly. Not timidly, not fearfully, not as cynics, I'm telling you, folks, you might be cynical, amen, about the media, and rightfully so. And you might be a cynic when it comes, amen, to a government, and rightfully so. And the deep state, and the swamp, and rightfully so, and rightfully so. But you cannot allow that cynicism to come over into the spiritual and become cynical. And some of you over the years, you profess your love for Christ, but in reality you are a cynic. Because you're an unbeliever when it comes to the counsel, amen, and the confidence you place in a man of God and a pastor. You just come and warm a pew. You just like to tell people you're church of God, and you like people to call you brother and sister. But your profession of faith is not what it ought to be. Because you've allowed a cynicism, amen, to come in your heart. It could be you never were freed from that cynicism, that unbelief, amen. What does that mean? Could be you never really got saved. You can't allow cynicism to come into the spiritual. You can't allow cynicism to come in, amen, when it comes to taking the counsel and the advice from our high priest, from his agent, the pastor. Amen. Did you just sneeze? Where do you go before you go to God? Where do you go before you go to the high priest? Amen. What do you put in your brain? What do you put in your mind? What governs you before you even give God a chance? Paul says, let's come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace. Oh, he has mercy, he has grace. Amen. And find grace to help in time of need. We have a high priest. This just isn't anyone with whom we have to do. This is the Son of God. This is Jesus Christ, who sits at the right hand of the Father, that intercedes for us, that knows all about us, that understands everything we go through, that has meted out advice, sound advice, through all the troubled times, amen, that man has faced, amen, through his existence. And he's not about, amen, to stop giving his counsel. He'll continue to give his counsel. Amen. The message is right here. It may not be always be what we want to hear, but it's there. And we'll do good to listen to it and obey it. Isaiah 9, verse 6, with whom we have to do. Our high priest, he's also our counselor. Isaiah 9, verses 6 to 7, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He's the Prince of Peace, not the peace that the world gives. Amen. But the peace that he alone can give. The peace, amen, that comes to the heart. But I'm going to stress this point again. I'm going to get to it in my outline. Amen. Though it comes to the heart, amen, how we think can hinder, amen, how we access that peace that comes to our heart. This is not stronger than how we think. Only if we allow it. We can hinder the peace that he has given to us in our heart. The knowledge of him, the knowledge of his existence, the knowledge of his power and his all-knowing and his ever-presence. Amen. It can affect what we have here if we don't think right. And what do we see the world take? It's hysteria. It's hysteria. The sports mad. The sports mad society we live in. They don't know what to do. They have no idea what to do.
The sports shows, they don't have anything to talk about. They're talking about some of the most mundane things. Some of the announcers on the radio, what are you going to do for these weeks that there's no hockey and there's no football draft and there's no more spring training? What are you going to do? Some said, well, I think I'm gonna read. I hardly have enough time to read, so they're going to have a book. We'll probably have book reviews on some of these radio programs. They don't know. They're very shallow existence. You take sports out of their life, it's like, what are we going to do? Take sports out of the life of the world. The casino, the Rivers Casino, the sports booking a site that they recently built down at the casino. You don't have to have a bookie anymore. You can just, you don't have to do it illegally. You can go down there and do it legally. But there's nothing to bet on. Nothing to bet on. They should have laid odds on whether we're going to have church this morning. No, you wouldn't go, don't go bet. What do they have to bet on? I'm sorry, some of you don't find this humorous, and you're not very interested. It's so typical. Some of you will comment about arrogance in the pulpit. From my vantage point, amen, I can look and perceive some things out of some people like you're totally disinterested. You better consider, this is advice from God. You better give it merit, because it will help you. If you're truly saved, it will help you. If you're a carnal man or a carnal woman, you'll have no regard for it. You'll do whatever you want to anyway. The Word of God never move you. You'll just go on and live your own life. Be content to be called Church of God. And oh, by the way, call me brother or call me sister. That's all I really need. What if we stop calling you brother? What if we stop calling you sister? Well, you're not going to take my pew away from me. No, probably won't. But there's more to it than just the title, brother, sister, I'm Church of God, and supposedly owning a pew or a seat in a pew. We give credence, we give stock, we put great stock into the Word of God and in His advice. He was born counselor, capital C in my Bible, yours? Amen. It just didn't say wonderful counselor. He's a wonderful counselor. Wonderful is one name for him. Wonderful. And then a second name is counselor, capital C. Mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Thank God for the Prince of Peace. My peace I leave with you. I give you not what the world has. Of the increase of His government and peace. Amen. Listen, of His government and peace, there shall be no end. Our peace never needs to come to an end, saints. Brother, sister, our peace never needs to come to an end. I've lost my peace. Then you've probably lost your soul. I'm going to get to a point here before too long. It's in times like this that the world is frantic. And again, you want to come, I tell you, if I was going to college again and taking a sociology course, I would have such subject matter right now. Going no farther, like I've already mentioned, Costco, Giant Eagle, Sam's Club. There's a whole paper, there's a whole thesis. I'm serious. That can be written. It can be written. I'd take pictures. I never tried this when I was in college. I thought about it. Just submitting a picture instead of a paper. Why, Brother Carnes? I would use the thought, a picture is worth 1,000 words. Some teachers would think that was humorous, and others would respond just like some of you are this morning.
wouldn't think it very funny.
No end to his peace. It's a kingdom of peace. It is reigning within. It shall ever... Is it on the decrease or is it on the increase? During times like this, is it increase? You're here this morning. Nobody dragged you to church this morning. Huh? Nobody dragged you here this morning. I hope. Maybe some of the children will say, Mom and Dad got me out of bed and dragged me to church. Okay. But if you're an adult, no one dragged you here this morning. You're here before because you want to be. You're here because some of your yawns, it's a convenient place for some of you to continue your sleep. I can see that. We sent those pews years ago down to Mickey Mullins when they were still standing. I sent a little note to them. I said, it's our privilege to be able to send our old, those old orange cloth pews. Wouldn't they have looked great in here? Sent those down there, okay. And I sent a little note with them, and I said, it is our privilege to be able to send these to help the congregation. And I said, I want you to know that some of the best people in the kingdom have slept in these pews. Is it increasing? What we're going through now, is it causing you to waver? Is it causing you to be fearful? Huh? I'm not talking about precaution. I'm not talking about awareness. We're going to get into that too. Faith does not mean just to be oblivious to the obvious. Huh? But how's your peace? I'm frantic. What do I do with my children? Did some of you have to deal with fear to come to church this morning? Did some of you in the back of your mind saying, I hope Brother Carnes cancels church? I hope he cancels church for 2 weeks. Does God's schedule run on Tom Wolfe's schedule? Huh? Huh? So who's Tom? Who's Tom Wolfe? He's the governor of our state, of our commonwealth. Huh? Tom Wolfe, some of you go, boy, I tell you, that's a howl. Wolfe, howl. The Church of God doesn't run on that schedule. It doesn't mean we're oblivious. It doesn't mean we're disregarding of civil law and rule. But if we're not careful, amen, the word says his peace will increase. The government and his peace will increase. Amen. We'll let times like this steal our peace, and we'll wring our hands and say, oh no, what do I do? As long as you're wringing them, put some soap in them. And then put cream in them. How many of you were fearful? Man, once the schools were closed, that was it. That's it, boy. We've never been through this. We've never been through this before. They closed the schools every June. They closed the schools every June. And you know what happens for those couple months? There's broken arms and broken legs and stitches and concussions. All sorts of bad things happen. How are you thinking this morning? Putting stuff on your hands, okay. Or you're just wringing them. Thank God this kingdom of peace is increasing. It's reigning in here. We possess it right here. When he saves from all sin. But it's more than just being saved from sin. It's how we think. There shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Thank God, God's zeal is never misplaced. And I used that thought this morning, beginning Sunday school. Misplaced zeal, misplaced ardor. His zeal is never misplaced. Praise the Lord. Do you possess a power of control over your own heart? Do you possess a power of control over your own heart? Well, he saved me, and that's more than just being saved. I got saved, I got sanctified, so everything ought to... Did he make you a robot? Doesn't the word say work out your own salvation with fear and trembling? Doesn't from the Old Testament to the New, amen, instruct us how we ought to think? And of course it does. It talks a lot about the mind. It talks a lot about our thoughts. It talks a lot about what we meditate upon, what we ponder. Because this has a direct impact upon what God put in here. Amen. Amen. So if we're going to control, amen, what's in here, we have to control what we think about. You can lose your peace, amen, right through your ears. Because that's where all those thoughts go. They can come right out your ears. Unless you're like Jeremy, you sneeze them out. Luke 21:26. He's got some advice for us. He's got some sound advice for us. Brother Carnes, I was hoping a message would be on joy today. I hope you were going to burn Babylon today. Oh, that would really be good. How many Babylonians do we have here? I want a message that is relevant. I want a message that's practical. Amen. That'll help me. Luke 21:26. Men's hearts failing them for fear. When did this happen? It's happened all down through the ages. It's happened just this last week. Amen. Happened just this last week. It'll continue to happen until Jesus comes back. If it's not this crisis, if it's not this calamity, it'll be something else. It's always been something. Amen. Emmanuel, what was his first name? He was the governor, or an advisor to Obama, and then he was the mayor of Chicago. Rahm Emanuel? Sorry, that's just... Thank you, Brother Dave. The rest of you, stop it. We're not going to get that out of your head. They do wrong. He came up with the thought that you take advantage of, and I'm paraphrasing, take advantage of every crisis that presents itself. And it probably came from the Saul Alinsky handbook of how to be a good communist and take over the country. That's a whole other thought here. And I was thinking, yeah, that's the way the Democrats, they use crises, plural. They use crises after crises to spin, to manipulate. They use it to their advantage. But saints of God, how many times has God taken a crisis and turned it completely around? Not for the world, but for his people. Would you consider being thrown into a fiery furnace a crisis? Would you consider being sentenced to spend the night in a lion's den a crisis?
Would you consider hanging on a cross with the sins of all mankind? A crisis. But didn't God take a time of crisis and turn it completely around for the good of his people, for the good of his son, for the good of his church? God knows how to use crises too. The Democrats didn't come up with it. Amen. The Saul Walinskis didn't come up with it. The Rahm, amen, the Rahm Emanuels didn't come up with it. Amen. God has used crises and turned them around, amen, for the advantage of his people, amen, for the good of his church, for the furtherance of the gospel. Well, praise the Lord. Where did that come from? I heard a voice from the wilderness. That wasn't Aria. Aria's been so well behaved today, Sister Kendi. You must have the touch. She's been singing a lot of solos in this congregation over the last while, okay? Did you notice how well behaved? No, you didn't notice. Okay, all right. Brother, Jeff's back there, big smiles. You know, if you work in the sound department, you have to wear a green shirt now. Do you notice that? Okay. Yeah, you have to wear a green shirt. Where'd that amen come from? Some child said amen. Where'd that come from? Who was it? Oh, it was Lincoln. Lincoln. Now he's acting bashful. Lincoln. Men's hearts failing them for fear. How's your heart doing? Huh? How's your heart doing? Easy now. How's your heart doing? Boom, 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 boom. How's your heart doing? Is it still beating? Well, of course, your physical heart's beating because you're alive. Some of you may not realize it, but you're alive. But how about your spiritual heart? Is it still beating? Boom, 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 boom. There's an advertisement for one of the medical providers. I feel like Napoleon right now. There's an advertisement for one of the medical providers, UPMC or Allegheny Health, and they have the sound of an unhealthy heart on the radio. Maybe you've heard it. This was this woman's heart. And it was unhealthy, and it was a bad heartbeat. And then they play the sound of her heart since she had a transplant. Some of you are saying, yeah, I heard that. And it was healthy. Boom, 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 boom. Her physical condition, whether genetics or whatever, caused her original heart to need to be replaced, to be transplanted. But God's put within us a new heart, and it need never fail. It need never fail. It should just pump. Boom, boom. Boom, boom. And God with his great stethoscope. What is a stethoscope? The word and the spirit. Amen. He should put his stethoscope right on and hear a healthy heartbeat, even in what we're going through right now. He shouldn't hear that heart's failing. That's heart failing. It's failing because of the calamity that's come upon our region, our country, our region, our schools. And that heart's failing. It's unhealthy. You should just hear a healthy spiritual heartbeat. Amen. He should be able to hear it. Our hearts should not be failing us these times, saints. They shouldn't be. We shouldn't have to be doctored. We shouldn't have to be run into the emergency. We shouldn't have to be thrown into ICU. Amen. Coronary care, spiritually speaking. The world, men's hearts are failing them for fear, for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. We look forward to that day.
All the more reason why we should hold steady. All the more reason, amen, why we should be concerned about heart-healthy things. Heart-healthy things. My wife buys stuff that's heart-healthy. She tries to feed me heart-healthy things. But what's God doing to us this morning? He's feeding us things that are heart-healthy. Heart-healthy things. And saints, you know as well as I do, I can't just eat one heart-healthy thing and expect that I'm good for the next 6 years. You have to take it in every day. You have to eat properly every day. Amen. If it's going to do good to your heart, it's the same thing with the Word of God. You've got to take the Word of God. Let's define it. You got to take the advice, the sound advice for troubled times every day. You have to remind yourself every day if it's going to help your heart, if it's going to keep you from heart failure. How horrible our spiritual eulogy would be. How'd they backslide? They backslid, they failed because their heart failed them. Isn't that awful? Isn't that awful? Thank God one of these days we'll see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and glory. Verse 28, and when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. We always have that hope, saints. Say, Brother Carnes, are you expecting God tomorrow? Are you expecting God in the midst of this Wuhan virus problem, this pandemic, as they're calling it? I expect Christ to come back anytime. I live in such a way that I'm expecting him to come anytime. But I plan as though he may not come for the longest time. You hear me? I live like he may come at any time. But I plan that he may not come for the longest time. But he's going to come. Amen. Now, how is the heart to be controlled? You cannot govern it directly. It is to be governed by the means of thought. It's thought. Christ puts it here. You have great potential, saint. Satan sanctified person. Brother, sister, you have great potential in here. There's great peace in here. There's great love in here. There's great mercy in here. There's great compassion in here. But we control this, amen, by a will, by what we think about. How are your emotions through this? How are your emotions through this time? I can't help myself. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Everything that comes out of the radio, everything that's on the web, everything that you read in the newspaper, everything that you look at on your phone doesn't need to set you off in a panic and cause you to be forlorn and cry and want to run, amen, next door and commiserate with some worldly person that does not have the hope that lies within them. How do you control that hope? By how you think. By how you think. Run down the hall. Did you hear? Did you hear? Did you hear? They're closing the schools. What does that mean to us? It could mean only the worst. Only the worst. We'll never be allowed out to the grocery store. Amen. We'll never be allowed out to the drugstore. It means only the worst. Men's hearts failing them. What are they giving over to? They're being fed panic. Amen. You get your nose in this. You just take what I'm preaching to you this morning. It'd be a wonderful dose of cure. A wonderful dose. This is not a placebo, saints. This is not a placebo. This is the real deal here. A good dose of this, amen, will mean a cure for your feeble heart, for your feeble mind. It'll bring you back into control of your emotions. If you would change your emotions, you must first change your thoughts. It starts with how you think. Stop thinking that way. Stop thinking that way. Brother Mike and Sister Lisa saying, many things about tomorrow, I don't understand. You realize we can't control tomorrow. We can't even control today. But we can control this, and therefore we will be able to control or access what God put in here. Can't control tomorrow. But we can control ourselves in what tomorrow brings, and we can control our emotions in what today brings. That's all we can control. And we have such potential, amen, and such strength, and such greater is he that's within you than he that is in where? The world. You know that scripture. But what good is that greatness? What good is that power if this here stopped you from accessing it? Because how you think. How many times, Sister Carnes, do we have to deal with how people think at this altar? It's not necessarily that they lack what they need here. What's hindering them is right here. So she has to make sure somebody's head gets on straight and think properly, and I have to do the same. It's how we think. You got it here. It's within you. Why go the way of the world? Why become frantic? Why panic? Amen. Not that we would, not that we would, not that we're going to. But what if somebody walked into your house right now? Will we find where all the products went to? Where the paper products went to? Will we find where all the canned beans went to? Where all the coffee went to? Some of you are notorious for being pack rats to begin with. Olies were made for you. But if we went to your house, maybe we wouldn't even have to go to your house. Maybe we could ask our crack security team to go down and open up your trunk. How did you know? There's an all-seeing eye. It's not to say we shouldn't have some things in reserve, but we can overdo it by how we think. We can lose our peace by how we think. Then you come home from the grocery store, you come home from wherever you buy these things, and you come home exhausted. And nobody in line was going to encourage you. No interest. Everybody's frantic, swiping cards, putting cash down. Long lines to stand in. You hear people arguing back on aisle 6. You talk about a cleanup in aisle 6. Nothing's interesting. Instead of just looking at those candy bars at checkout, you're starting to throw them in your... Need these, gotta have these. Kids are gonna be home. See how many ever enter the mouth of the kids? If you would change your emotions, you must change your thoughts. To think only of our problems and grievous circumstances and not of our blessings and joyous circumstances is to let our heart be troubled and to let be afraid. Have you thought about your blessings? I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to do about my job. I don't know what I'm going to do about the economy. I don't know what I'm going to do about my kids. I don't know. Now your thought process is going to start to steal your peace that Christ gave you. Your heart is going to be troubled. It's going to be afraid.
How many of you thought about your blessings? This is a blessing this morning. The more I thought about it, the more blessed I felt. Able to go to church. This is a good place to be. Amen. I was padding down my hallway this morning to do what? Go make coffee. And I thought to myself, what if I had to spend all day here today? I would feel so unfulfilled. It would feel so foreign, so strange. What if I had to spend all day here today? It's a blessing to be here today. Yes. Blessing to be able to sing. Blessing to be able to pray. Blessing to hear the special singers sing, the choir. Blessing to hear the word of God. To hear some sound advice in these troubled times. Thank God for sanity. Thank God, amen. The words of our Savior are sanity. Sanity in an insane world. Brother Carson's not insane. Okay, back to this, the sociology thesis. Back to the paper. That's pretty normal behavior, isn't it? Uh-huh. Can't get in the house for boxes of canned beans and paper products. To call off these thoughts. Call off these thoughts from the circumstances which are grievous and turn them then to that which is joyous, to think of God. And here's a scripture in Psalm 46, 1 and 3. Go ahead and turn there because I'm gonna quote from it. Psalm 46, verse 1 to 3. To turn our thoughts from these grievous circumstances, from the trouble, from the panic, from the fear. Turn our thoughts from these things which are grievous and turn them then to those things which are joyous, to those things that are blessings, to think of God. Then we begin to think of God, as it says here in Psalm 46, 1 to 3. We think of God as our refuge. He's our refuge. He's our strength. Amen. Costco is not our strength. Sam's Club is not our strength, not our refuge. Giant Eagle, amen. It's not the place where we find a safe harbor. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Set your mind on that, saints. Therefore will we not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. I just gave you those three verses. I thought about going to the fourth, which I love. There is a river. Thank God that makes glad, amen, the city of God. Well, praise the Lord. Coming to church today, amen, amen. Coming down to the river, if you will. Thank God it's made our souls glad. Redirected our thoughts to think on the things that are joyous and blessing is to think of God as our refuge, our strength, the present help in trouble. It's to stop the sorrow and it's to quench the fear. Done with it. Done. My God's bigger than all this. Isaiah 26 and verse 3. Old Testament scripture about how we think. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Amen. We do not need, amen, to be walking around with a gray dark cloud over us through this time, saints. This is a time of opportunity for those that are truly people with a profession of faith. We don't have to be walking around with a big old cloud over us. Lord, help me pray a little hole through that old dark cloud that I may reach right up and hold my Savior's hand. Lord, help me pray a little hole through every dark cloud that I may reach right up and hold my Savior's hand.
What are you holding to? What's the world holding to? They're holding to their grocery cart. They're holding to filling their larder, their pantries. Man, what are we holding to? Keep holding on to Jesus. Amen. He'll quiet the storm. How many storms has he been through? Amen. For our good. For our good. True people of faith have a responsibility to exercise such control. Now, here we go. You've got a lot of encouragement. Now here comes this thought about responsibility. I don't want to know anything about responsibility, Brother Carnes. That's your job. You're the pastor. All responsibility is on you. All responsibility is on this lady sitting up here in the front, in the gray suit. No, we all have a responsibility. If we are professing a profession of faith, if we have that high priest, if we have that counselor, if we've been given that peace that the world doesn't have, we have a responsibility. True people of faith. There's a lot of people in this time that talk about faith, talk about praying. Oh, it's so shallow. It's so lame. On one hand, to talk about being a Christian, and they probably are as much as they know. When I say they are, which is probably not, but as much as they know, that's what they're doing. But they show how little they do know and how little they have Christ within them, have that peace within them, because of all their frantic moves and all their knee-jerk reactions. And it's horrible and it's awful. And I'm telling you, there will not be no small comment over the fact that this parking lot has cars in it this morning. I will be surprised if I'm not left a message on the church answering phone mail. I will be surprised if it doesn't show up on our site. How dare you? How can you? How dare you? Sounds like that young girl from over in Scandinavia. What's her name? Greta Humbug. How dare you take my life, my future away from me? There will be people, I'm telling you, there will be people who say, how dare you have your people come to church? And you know where that's going to come from? It's going to come from people that never go to church. So quick to criticize, so quick to find fault, to pass judgment. And it'll come from some, amen, that are the Pharisees out there, having a form of godliness but no power. Consumed with the power of fear. Gateway Church was on the radio site, news site. Heard it even before our broadcast, but I read it yesterday. They canceled services for the next 2 weeks. You know why? You know the real reason why? They worshiped in Center Township Elementary School. The school's closed. They can't get in the building. But then they said, and also for the care of our congregation, the health and care of our congregation. Mm-hmm. The real reason was the first reason. We can't get in the building. Mm-hmm. Come to the Church of God. We'll preach to you. Pastor David won't fill this pulpit, though. We're gonna get some criticism. Count on it. People are gonna ask, well, did you have church yesterday? You're gonna hear it. Did you have church yesterday? Yeah, we had church. How many were there? Same, they're always there. Except the ones that were down with the virus. You saw, you're just carrying them out left and right. Well, I hope you didn't go over that number. What's the number? What's the number? I've heard 100, I've heard 250. What's the number? What's the number? God counts up the people. Yeah, I can't believe you. Well, you know what? You people, I believe you'd have church. Well, good. I'm glad you know that about us. Because it just backs up our profession of faith. We're not running around aimless. We're not running around with our eyes closed to the problem. We're being very conscientious. My pastor's very conscientious about this situation. Canceled the outreach. Talked to our infirm. Talked to those that had pre-existing medical conditions. Warned us not to, we hug and shake hands. Social distancing. So sitting there, whatever. Okay. Got a sneezer and a cougher right there together. Thank you. You know you're going to hear it. I can't believe it. Well, we had church. It was a national day of prayer. My pastor talked about how good a job President Trump's doing. He gave us some advice from Christ on how to deal through this time. Hey, man, what an appropriate place to be. What a good place to be. Amen. We have a responsibility, saints, to exercise control over this. It's not an option. Honestly, it's not an option. Christ gave it to us. We need to be good stewards over it. Not squander it. Not to walk around like chickens with their head cut off. You won't be able to find them at the grocery store, but we don't need to walk around like them. This is a power, amen, which you can't just leave dormant in your heart. That which we can do, we need to do. Because God requires it. And I'm talking about having faith. I'm talking about looking to Him. I'm talking about, activating that peace that He gave us that's in our heart. Not to let our hearts be troubled. It's our responsibility. Doing it, amen, is essential to our well-being. It's essential for us to conduct ourselves properly. It is not proper for a saint of God, amen, one that has a profession of faith, Church of God people, to run around, amen, frantic, panicking, wringing their hands, saying, oh my. We got a congregation, a bunch of chicken littles. The sky is falling. We ought to be going around saying, one of these days, amen, amen, Christ is coming, amen, through that eastern sky. Sky is falling. It's our responsibility to exercise control. It's required of us. Christ said this, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. Stop it. If Christ was here amongst this, what would he say? He would say, just like he did to the disciples, oh, ye of little faith, how long will you have me with you? When are you going to get it? Don't you know with whom you have to do? Amen. The difficulty of the time has never lessened the obligation of the church. The difficulty of the time has never lessened the obligation of the church. Early morning time, Middle Ages, Reformation, Sixth Seal, day and age which we live in. It is never, amen, amen, the difficulty of the time has never lessened the obligation of the church. We are to behave ourselves as God-fearing, amen, empowered people. God calls us all to do difficult things. Whose life doesn't have some difficulties in it? What is life if it doesn't have some difficulties in it? God calls us all to do difficult things. The human being, the man or woman that shies away from doing difficult things, what kind of man or woman are they? What kind of man or woman are they? As we do, our light shines all the brighter in this time, in this crisis. As we do, our light will shine all the brighter. It'll be noticed. Amen. Luke 21:10. With this, we're going to come to a close. This is sound advice. Thank you, Lord. You knew what we were going to face. You know what still lies out there. He always knew what his church was going to face, what his people was going to go through. He always knew. He never leave us comfortless. Luke 21:10, then said he unto them, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and a great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines, and pestilence, and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. Verse 13, what's it say here? What did I tell you about God turning crisis? Huh? The three Hebrews. Daniel, the very Son of God. It says here, and in verse 13, and it shall turn to you for a testimony. Man, I'll tell you, I would highlight that. Amen. I would underline that. You control yourself. You control, amen, your thoughts. You allow the peace that God gave you, amen, to come out through your life. It will turn to you for a testimony. How good is that? And then verse 14, it says, settle it therefore in your hearts. Settle it in your hearts. Settle your mind. Calm down. Settle it in your mind. Settle it therefore in your hearts, and do not meditate before what you shall answer. I don't know what I'm going to say tomorrow. I'm going to work. They ask me, I don't know what I'm going to say. I'm probably going to just stay away from everybody. I'll just hide myself in my cubicle. Oh, that's right. I don't have to go in tomorrow because they don't want me to come into work. Verse 15, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And you shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinfolk and friends. And some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But thank God it will turn to us for a testimony. Thank God we can settle it therefore in our hearts. But in verse 18 it says, Christ says, but there shall not an hair of your head perish. And then verse 19, what advice, what sound advice for troubled times. In your patience, possess ye your souls. That's as far as we're going this morning.